Well, we're going to get ready to go into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. As you return to your seats, I invite you to open God's Word with me. And you can follow along with the various texts that we're going to be exploring today on the back of the Going Deeper sheet inside of your worship folders. And I invite you to do that as we will continue where we left off last week today, exploring the spiritual discipline, holy habit, and practice of the faith known as Sabbath rest. As we are on a journey discovering these various disciplines and how we can grow in them so that we can flourish in a life with Christ, grow in relationship and in righteousness, being the right relationship with Him. Practices, habits, and disciplines, Jesus Himself lived out, showing us how we can indeed receive the life that He came to bring us here and now, and not just someday on eternity shore. We can live in the abundance of life He's given us now, and the disciplines are a key to unlocking that life, because we can truly live in the blessedness of His presence, a blessedness that is found in the disciplines. As we already stated last week, especially the discipline we're currently discussing, known as Sabbath rest. To better understand this, we began to explore what Sabbath rest is and what it is not. And we're going to continue doing that today. But to help alleviate, we're trying to help alleviate those misconceptions that are in our culture regarding the Sabbath, because there are so many. Last week we learned how it's not something that's obligated of us in the new covenant with Jesus. It's not an obligation. It is a gift that God has given us to prepare for that ultimate rest. That ultimate rest that's coming, that we had once before in Eden, that we forfeited and lost due to our sin. As we discover, Sabbath was never meant to be a burden or a begrudging obligation. It was not a strict set of rules to follow. It is not about being legalistic or adhering to a rigid tradition that creates stress. Rather, it's a means of being able to release and rest in the Lord. It's about finding joy in God and entering into the rest He made us for with Him. The rest we were created for, as Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. I think it's missing something. Every day it says something at the end of the day. What does it say in Genesis? Every day of creation, there was evening and morning, and then the day. Must be a typo or something. This is the beauty of Sabbath. God created eternal rest to enjoy Him forever, forever and ever. And that is a rest we can still obtain in and through Jesus Christ. And we have a video clip that will help explain this a little bit better than I can.
The number seven is a big deal in the Bible.
Yeah, in biblical Hebrew, the word seven is connected to the idea of fullness or completeness.
And that's something we all long for, but don't often experience. Instead, we find ourselves working endlessly, fighting back chaos with no real rest.
Yes. Now keep all that in mind as we turn to Genesis 1 in the Bible. It begins with darkness and disorder, but then God speaks to bring about light and order so that life can flourish.
And this happens over the course of 6 days.
Each day is marked with the phrase, there was evening and there was morning. But on the seventh day, something special happens.
God stops and rests.
Right. Creation is brought to its completion on the seventh day. And that phrase, there was evening and there was morning, it doesn't appear on day seven.
It's like a day with no end.
On the seventh day, God's presence fills His creation. The land provides for all of God's creatures, including humans, who are appointed to rule the world with God forever.
Kings and queens of the seventh day rest. I can get into that.
But the humans are deceived by a dark power, and they forfeit that rest. They're exiled into the wilderness, where they have to work as slaves to the land.
Until they die and return to the dust from which they came.
But God wants to restore humanity back to that seventh-day rest. So he chooses to give the family of Israel that experience of ultimate rest so they can share it with others.
But how? They're in Egypt, slaves to an oppressive empire who's grinding them into the dust.
So God confronts Egypt, and he liberates the Israelites, taking them through the darkness and chaos on the way to the Promised Land.
Now, while they're on their way, they find themselves in the wilderness. It's easy to get lost. Life is a struggle. They're not in the land of rest yet.
But while they're on the way, God invites them in the wilderness to start living as if they're in the Promised Land.
But how do you practice the future rest in the wilderness?
Well, God tells them that every seventh day, they are to stop their work, or in Hebrew, to Shabbat, so that they can rest and enjoy God's good world.
So take a whole day to live as if the ultimate rest has already come.
Yeah, this is the Sabbath, celebrated every week on the seventh day. But there's more. The Sabbath is just one of seven festivals that Israel practiced every year, each one anticipating that seventh-day rest.
That is a lot of sevens.
And there's even more. Every 7 years, the Israelites were to liberate slaves, forgive debts, and let the land rest for a whole year. And then, every 7 times 7 years was the ultimate seventh-day rest, called the Year of Jubilee. If anyone had lost their land or gone into debt, all was forgiven, everything restored.
Wow, so the Sabbath, these feasts, the Year of Jubilee, it's all pointing towards the hope of future rest.
Right. Now, when the Israelites went into the land, they forgot their God, and so they forfeited their chance for rest in the Promised Land.
They're exiled and enslaved again by an oppressive nation, led back into a world of chaos and disorder.
But Israel's prophets said that their exile would end one day, and that the ultimate jubilee of freedom and rest would come, but generations go by, and they're still waiting.
It's at this dark point in the story that Jesus appears, and he launches his public mission on a Sabbath day.
Yeah, he read aloud from the scroll of Isaiah, saying that it was time for all captives and slaves to be released because this was the year of the Lord's favor.
What did he mean, this is the year of the Lord's favor?
He was talking about the ultimate jubilee.
Also, Jesus is claiming that seventh-day rest would come through him.
Right, he said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, and he confronted disorder and darkness in all of its forms, liberating people from sickness, sin, even from death itself.
Yet, Jesus was killed, so even his work was undone.
Well, it seemed that way. But notice, Jesus timed his death to take place at the end of the week. His body rested in a tomb during the Sabbath, and on the eighth day, he rose from the dead.
Oh wait, the eighth day? You mean the first day of a new week.
Exactly. Jesus' resurrection was like the first day of a new creation, where God's light and life broke into the darkness.
So because of the resurrection, we have hope in God's promise of future rest. But we're not there yet. It's like we're still in the wilderness, where we experience struggle and pain.
But as we journey towards that ultimate seventh day, Jesus invites us to experience a taste of real rest now by following him. Or in his words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
If you'd like to rewatch that video, there is a QR code in the back of your Going Deeper page. I find it is an excellent representation of what it is we're studying right now, what it is we're learning from God's Word, and that is what is and what is not Sabbath rest. The point, though, is this short little clip of this video shows us the nature of what we're going to be talking about, what Sabbath rest is and is not. In that it is a day of actual rest and not productivity. We are so tempted in our culture where everything is based upon what you can produce. In a consumeristic society, that is what we base people's worth on, what they produce. And it's terrible because that is not how God intended things to be. And in our society, it's so hard to say, you know what, I'm going to put aside productivity and I'm going to practice rest. It's an invitation to pause and reflect on God's goodness and enjoy His presence despite the curse of sin, as Jesus emphasized when He said this in Mark 2:27. And He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." It is a day, as the most basic understanding of the Hebrew word we translate to Sabbath, Shabbat, a word that means to cease, to rest, giving full context to those blessed words that they said at the end of the video. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Words of Jesus right before we have this large section of this confrontation that He has with the Pharisees over Sabbath and rest and what the Sabbath truly is. And we understand in this context, this is a gift that God has given us. A gift to set aside the worries and cares of life and to trust Him. A gift to truly set aside all the tasks and toils we have to do each and every day due to the curse of sin, to find refreshment in Him. And it's not an obligation. It's a gift. Now, of course, some people could say, well, didn't they prescribe the death penalty for violating the Sabbath in the Old Testament? Well, they did. Exodus 31:15 through 17 says, "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Now, if you could just bear with me for just a little bit longer of some recapping before we get into where we're going today, you could say that sounds pretty obligatory to me. That sounds like we should probably do that. I mean, the death penalty was put on this. And yes, under the old covenant, under the law of Moses, that was the case. It was about following the letter of the law. But somewhere along the way of following the letter of the law, the people lost the heart, the purpose, the meaning behind the law. And we are no longer under the law of Moses. We are under the law of grace. And what Jesus has brought to us, because we are no longer under the requirements of the Hebrew law, but through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we get to live out this wonderful practice, this gift that it was intended to be. And we know this is the case through scriptures like Colossians 2:16 through 17. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Romans 14:5. "One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." And in this, we can truly reclaim. We can reclaim all the devil and hell has stolen from humanity by receiving this free gift given to us by God, a day set aside from all the toils and tasks and burdens of daily life due to sin, and to enjoy the fruits of the labor God has given us. Enjoying Him and His creation, preparing for that ultimate rest in eternity. The rest we were created for. The rest we were created to be in. What then is this rest? What does it mean to cease? What is this gift given to us by God? These are essential questions to ask, because I find many, including myself, have gotten them wrong for years. One common misconception is being a day of rest is means that you just sit around in your lazy boy or your bed all day and sleep. Now, that may be the Sabbath you need. There's nothing wrong with that. That may be the Sabbath you need. I know that boy, that couch in our living room is just feeling really nice right now. And you may need that. But the point is that's not what Sabbath rest is all about. There's so much more to the beauty of this gift than physical rejuvenation. There's spiritual, emotional, social rejuvenation, holistic rejuvenation of our entire beings. And it's more than what the world would define rest as Google would, which means to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. Be placed or supported so as to stay in a specific position. The Sabbath is not about doing nothing, but it's about doing the right thing. Sure, we are to cease, which we'll talk more about here in a moment, but there's so much more to this ceasing and resting, understanding first and foremost as God would have us rest in Him. Sabbath rest is an intentional invitation that we take out of the world, its burdens, its sinful systems, which we are stuck in. And it is an invitation by God to step out of the muck and mire to get a glimpse and to enjoy eternity. It is a time here on earth we get to spend in light of the eternity to come. Whereas John proclaims in Revelation 21:3 will be like this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Sabbath rest is an invitation to be in the presence of God, to practice the presence of God. It's an invitation that we are invited to join in on, to grow in our relationship with Christ. It is an act of regular, intentional trust as well. Because what we do is we cease of our toils, and you may think, well, who's going to do the laundry that day? We don't worry about the laundry that day because we trust in God's providing hand. As the people of Israel were expected to trust in his providing hand while they wandered through the wilderness. You know, they're having an issue. There wasn't enough food, they said. And so God said he was going to rain bread from heaven, something that they would call manna. Does anybody know what that word means, manna? It doesn't say, it's not this tastes good, but what is it? That's what they called the bread from heaven. They actually said, what is it? I don't know, but it did taste good. It said it was like honey and kind of bread-like. And when the people of Israel were given the manna, God made it clear, gave them clear instructions on what they were supposed to do about this bread-like substance, that they were only to collect an omer, what they could eat in one day. They were only to collect that and nothing more. And in fact, it says in Exodus chapter 16, which I encourage you this week to read the full chapter. We're going to read a portion of it here in a second. But if they did collect more than they could eat, it would breed worms. Breed worms. Like that's that to me, that's even more intensive. It's not that it would be full of worms. No, it bred worms. Like that's just that's disgusting to me. And it would stink the next day. And in fact, the people of Israel were, you know, God's like, you need to obey me, you need to trust me. And on the seventh day, what we find out is that they were supposed to not collect any because they were supposed to collect twice as much on the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, something amazing happens. And we see this in Exodus verses 22 through 30. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Thank the Lord. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Proper rest is being in the presence of God and trusting in God's provision. Understanding that he is the one that provides everything. That one extra sprint at the end of your week isn't going to produce anything that you can't produce on that next day, the eighth day, the first day of the next week. We can rest knowing he is our dearest heavenly Father, whose name is holy and above all other names. We can eagerly anticipate his coming kingdom and his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, as we trust in him for our daily bread. Knowing, though, that we live in a time between times, the day is coming. The day is coming whenever, behold, God will say, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Where we will enter into the ultimate eternal rest that Jesus came to bring us, that hell had stolen away from us in Eden. To be able to take up residence in the place, in the very presence of God. Not just as individuals, but as a community, which is something that we practice when we come together like this. When we come together to worship God, we are preparing ourselves for eternity to come, as we will together be with him in his presence. It is the purposeful task of living the disciplines to continue to practice and prepare for eternity. It's not a day of doing nothing, nor is it a day of productivity in terms of our task, our chores, and our work. But it's a day to fill our lives with God, to spend time in prayer, to spend time in study, to spend some time fasting, to actually go to that silent, alone, desolate place that we can just be alone and live in the way that Jesus lived, as he did this often. He would go off to be alone in silence to pray, enjoying our time with God. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle of life, we got to be sure to understand what this is also about. It's not a joyless thing. It is a gift that God has given us to enjoy, to be able to enjoy our rest, to enjoy his presence, and to appreciate the beauty of his creation. As the teacher expresses in Ecclesiastes 3, 12 through 13, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. Have you ever thought about Sabbath rest as enjoyment? Doing those things that just make you excited, that causes your heart to just jump and leap? Being able to recreate, to enjoy a hobby, to enjoy the things you can't do otherwise because Monday through Friday, it's 9 to 9, sometimes it seems like. These verses show us that enjoying our rest is the divine blessing given to us by God. God desires for us to take pleasure in the fruits of our labor. He desires for us to enjoy the gifts that he bestows upon us because of our labor and to relish the moment that we have the pause. And to play with the wonderful gifts he has given us. We do this not by doing nothing, but by doing something. Something we loved and were created by God to do. For example, we engage in activities that bring us joy. Whether it's spending time with loved ones, enjoying a hobby, or simply taking in the beauty of nature, your resting and celebrating the goodness of God and his creation will be different than someone else's resting. But it is resting when we set aside the world and its worries and take on an internal perspective in Jesus Christ. And it's also a great means of cultivating gratitude in our heart. As you take time to rest, you reflect on the blessings that God has given you in the way that God has provided for you and continues to provide for you. And this will transform your perspective of your very life, allowing you to see rest not as a chore or burden, but as a cherished gift and opportunity to connect with God. But it's crucial to understand it's a day of rest. It is a day that we are to cease to set aside our productivity. And as I said, in a day and age of where productivity is what we measure people's worth off of, it's hard to do. I struggle with this myself. The Sabbath is not a day God gives us to catch up on work-related tasks, chores, and activities that further drains us, which is something I'm intentionally trying to get better at not doing in those moments of rest that God does bring to me. It's not about finishing the honey-do list that day. To do this, to make it a day of productivity, is to take the beautiful gift that God has given from us and to distort it so much that it's no longer what it was meant to be. We must learn to live our lives with margin in this. And what I mean by that is that extra load of laundry, it can wait for the next day. It can wait. You can rest in the presence of God without those chores. That task list that's left of incomplete tasks can wait. And if they couldn't wait, what we were supposed to do is what God instructed the people of Israel to do on the sixth day, to collect twice as much as you needed. Because there wasn't going to be any on the seventh day. It was supposed to be a day of solemn rest. So we intentionally plan our calendars around this rest, this period that we get to spend and be with God that rejuvenates not just our bodies, but also our souls. Therefore, we understand it's not a day of productivity. It is truly a day of rest. Intentional rest, a day that we get to enjoy being rooted into the creation narrative of God Himself, where He created the seventh day after creating the world, not due to exhaustion, but as an intentional act to model a rhythm of work and rest for all of us to enjoy in His creation for eternity to come. A rest stolen away from us by the enemy that we can reclaim in the name of Jesus, allowing us to experience the fullness of life that God desires for us, free from the pressures of constant activity. The spiritual discipline, the holy habit, and the practice of faith known as Sabbath rest truly will transform your life. How do we do it, though? There's more we got to talk about what it is and what it's not, but at this point, I feel it would be inappropriate if I didn't start talking about how it is we actually begin to do this. First and foremost, we already discussed this with all the other disciplines. You must be intentional. And in this, you must plan and prepare. Prepare for it. Make sure you're not filling your Sabbath day or period of time, because sometimes you got to start small. Maybe you just... one-seventh of your life is just, I don't know how I could do that. It's almost a mountain like Everest. You don't have to climb Everest in one day. Start somewhere. Do something. And instead of filling your days with activity, fill it with worship and other wonderful means of connecting with God. Then allow yourself grace. Give yourself permission to let go and trust God. To let go of your innate desire and need to be productive and to spend some time instead with Jesus. To know that He is the one that provides all good things. He is the one that gives us all that we need. And in this, we practice gratitude. I'm finding that one of the best things I can do when I'm in these periods of rest in my own life is to just thank God, to pray to God in every moment we find something to be thankful for, to thank Him, to worship Him, to honor Him. Another way is to keep a gratitude journal, to actually journal out the things that you are grateful for and also the things that God does in these moments of rest. And you'll be able to look back on that and actually, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember when God did this. I thought this was going to happen, but then God. Simply just be thankful and rest in Him. No matter what, though, if you do nothing, you will gain nothing. If you don't take that first intentional step, you're not going to find the gift of this rest, this foretaste of eternity. And if I can, as your pastor, encourage you in anything, take a step. What step could He be calling you to today? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Lord Jesus, help us this week to enter your rest more so than any other week before. Help us, Lord, to understand the blessed gift, your Sabbath day that you have bestowed upon us is. Help us, Lord, to rest in you from this day forth and forevermore. Amen.